This is Marketplace from APM. I'm Kai Rizdahl. With apologies to the president, the 1980s called. They want their steel jobs back. And you know what? They're coming back in Ohio in particular. Manufacturing jobs are up and employment is down. How come? There's all kinds of oil and gas drilling going on out there. And when you drill, you need pipe, steel pipe. And we are drilling more than ever in this country. There's something of a boom in domestic energy production happening. So we're working on an occasional series about America being possibly the next petrostate. Here's Marketplace's Scott Tong from the Sustainability Desk today out in Canton, Ohio.
Nixon goes to China. Pigs fly. Steel jobs return to eastern Ohio. Yaha. For those of us who've not paid attention, $1 billion is being invested in mills in Youngstown, Lorain, and here in Canton. At the Timken Steel Company, Vice President Tom Moline looks proudly upon a big hole in the ground.
It will be the largest jumbo bloom caster in the world.
Translation?
This machine is going to be a monster. It will be the tallest structure in Stark County when it's done. And I believe the depth of this pit is close to the average depth of Lake Erie.
Timken is adding a gee-whiz steel plant, in large part because oil and gas companies need pipes for drilling. In the Gulf, in North Dakota, in Texas, right here under the Buckeye trees.
There are stabilizer bars, there are toll joints, there are drill collars, there's heavy wall drill pipe, and there's actually the drill bit itself. Our steel participates in all of those applications.
Inside the mill, they dump tons of scrap metal, old fridges, junked cars, into a 3,000-degree furnace. They melt the steel, they stir it, add and subtract stuff. Alloys are good, hydrogen's bad. Then they pour it, cool it, stretch it, cut off the ends, and out come highly pure, highly engineered metal tubes. And the oil men are buying. Here's energy analyst Ed Morse at Citigroup.
The Rust Belt places are undergoing the very beginnings of a massive renaissance of industrial development.
Morse paints a cheery forecast for domestic oil and gas production that it could create 1 million jobs in manufacturing. Maybe. Whatever the number, he argues that big American factories win, not just by selling to oil and gas companies, but also buying cheap energy from them.
If you have low-cost available energy, you can be a very efficient steel producer. The traditional energy-intensive industries, where the U.S. had lost its competitive edge, it now has regained it.
Just up Sheppler Church Avenue is steel supplier Solmet Technologies. It's having its best year yet, and Vice President Matt Halter credits oil and gas. To him, a key leading indicator is the Canton White Truck Index.
These companies around here that are drilling, that's how they get around. And when you start seeing your roads full of white pickup trucks, it means good things are coming.
Those white truck guys, they pay an awful lot of money for a fancy piece of steel.
You could have a $400 motor up to a $25,000 piece.
It's a new chapter in an old story of eastern Ohio and steel. Canton's heyday goes back to railroad days and making tracks, says historian Jackie Stuckey Welling at Malone University. Back then, she says,
we're the early Chicago in frontier America. With the boom in the production of iron and steel, we're located near coal fields. We're located near transportation routes.
Similar story with nearby Youngstown. So when World War II came around, the Department of War Information spun out a patriotic documentary hailing the Ohio Steel Mill.
This is the ore. It looks like dirt, but in a few weeks it'll become part of a ship, a tank, or a gun.
In reality, Ohio Steel was declining. The economic action moved west to the actual Chicago. Technology replaced workers. Tens of thousands here lost jobs. On September 19, 1977, Youngstown Sheet and Tube closed down. They call it Black Monday. Here's laid-off mill worker James Davis in an archived interview years later.
There'll be a time when 10% of the workforce will produce all the goods and services that are needed for the entire country. And the question becomes, what do you do with the other 90%?
Today, eastern Ohio is known dubiously as a place people have left. John D. Rockefeller, the Hoover Vacuum Company. Don't get people started here on the old Cleveland Browns or LeBron James.
Of course it's happening in Northeast Ohio.
Again, historian Jackie Welling.
The river catches on fire in, you know, the late 1960s. In Cleveland, I think, if I remember correctly, the mayor's toupee catches on fire. It just seems like, okay, what else is going to happen?
And now, steel jobs are happening. Now, for Ohioans conditioned to look for the catch, Ohio State economist Mark Partridge offers this. Not all those lost jobs will be back.
We look at a steel mill of, say, a couple generations ago. They employed thousands and thousands of people. Today, steel mills might just employ hundreds of people. So it isn't going to just completely turn around the Midwest.
Competitive companies today employ lots of machines, not so many people. But Canton will take it. The proverbial shot in the arm for an economy long punched in the face. We save the last word for Timken steel worker Jim Davidson.
We come from good stock. We go to work every day. You know, if people get famous and leave, that's not our lot in life. I mean, we're lunchbox toters. We go to work every day and grind out a living.
In Canton, Ohio, I'm Scott Tong for Marketplace.